Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. Are you tired? I wonder how many times this week you've said, "I'm tired. I'm just so tired." When was the last time someone greeted you and said, "Hello, how are you doing? You okay?" And you said, "I'm fine. I'm just tired." Are you tired in physical terms? Maybe you have difficulty sleeping. Do you have so much work crammed into your day that you never get much of a break? Do you maybe have a medical condition that means you're left feeling constantly drained and weary and deflated? Are you tired in emotional terms? Are you going through things that just make your heart ache? Are there situations in your life that keep you up at night? Are there friends and loved ones you know who are suffering and it burdens you? Are you tired in spiritual terms? Do you try and fail to find that one thing in life that will truly satisfy you? Are you not a believer in Christ and you're trying to do as much as you can to make God pleased with you? Or are you a believer in Christ and you're straining to obey what you read in the Bible best you can? Well, there was once a man who lived, and then he was born. A man who died and then lived again. An impossible man. A man who wasn't and isn't just a human like you and me, but was the Son of God in human flesh. And of course, his name is Jesus. And he said the words that we read earlier on, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And so someone might ask, who is God? Is he distant and far off? Is he disconnected from us? Is he uninterested in all the struggles and burdens and heartaches that we feel? No. He came to us and beckons us to come to him. So, are you tired? Well, my goal this morning is to beckon you and encourage you and convince you, whether you believe or don't believe, to be joyfully content in resting in this Jesus. And I have three reasons, three attempts to gain your confidence in him and what he's offering. And first is this: that your burden is totally ruinous. And it will ruin you in more than one way. Look back at what Jesus says. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Does that exclude any of us? No. If you're weary, if you're burdened, then Jesus is speaking to you. So does that include you if you're struggling in life and you don't have any peace? Yes. Does that include you and cover you if you're weighed down by heartache and you don't have any joy? Yes. I think it includes toiling and being burdened physically, toiling and being burdened emotionally. But Jesus has a special emphasis in mind here. People who are toiling and burdened spiritually. You see, the people Jesus was speaking directly to 2,000 years ago, the people standing in front of them, what kind of toiling and burden would they have been facing spiritually? Well, they'd be striving and straining to keep all of the Old Testament laws and all of the rules that their teachers, the Pharisees, had put in place. In short, the Pharisees had, perhaps inadvertently, perhaps intentionally, created a religious culture of strict, cold, ritualistic obedience with no love for God himself. And they did that to the point where they missed the point of much of the Old Testament, and their own ideas, their own preferences, became laws and rules themselves. So the situation in Jesus' day was this. Despite what God had said to the people, there were religious leaders and priests and teachers who said, "This is the way for your burdens to be lifted. This is what you have to do in order to find God. This is what you have to work towards in order to achieve peace." But it was burdensome. It was ruinous. And what do we find today? Well, despite what God has said to us, there are teachers and priests and motivational speakers and gurus who would say, "This is the way for your burdens to be lifted. This is the way for you to find peace. This is the way, if you work towards this, you can achieve joy and contentment." But it's just as burdensome and just as ruinous. What makes that way of thinking so burdensome? What makes it ruinous? Well, to answer that, let's look at what Jesus says about taking his yoke. Now, what is this talk about Jesus and yokes? Is he carrying a little basket of eggs? Here you go. Of course not, no. A yoke, as some of you will know, is a strong wooden beam that you would tie around and across the necks of your oxen so that they'll walk the same way for you when ploughing your field. And they won't walk off in different directions. They'll stick together and walk the way they're meant to walk. And it's as though every one of us is bound to one yoke or another. Every one of us is bound to something that defines who we are. And there are three main yokes that I can think of. And you're bound to one of these three. You're either bound to the yoke of your own religious duty. You're bound to the yoke of your own pride and wisdom. Or you're bound to the yoke of Christ. And we'll come to that yoke in a minute. But as for these other two yokes that you may be bound to this morning, your religious duty or your own wisdom and pride, both of these yokes are burdensome. Both of these yokes are cumbersome. Both of these yokes are draining, and they'll get you nowhere. And yet, how highly people in the world today regard these two things: religious duty, your own wisdom and pride. But they get you nowhere. Let's look at them both in turn. If your yoke is your own religious duty, "I must do this in order to earn God's favor," then you're going nowhere. Because the weight of your sin is so great that no amount of good can ever outweigh it. That's why it is so ruinous to bear the yoke of religious duty and plow ahead with that. Do you feel the weight of that yoke this morning? Are you tired of it? Or if your yoke is your own wisdom, your own pride, saying, "I'm capable alone. I can steer this ship. I'm the captain and I'm the sole crew member," then you're going nowhere. Because which of us hasn't already admitted to ourselves that we are weary, we are burdened, we are broken? And does that get rid of the emptiness in your soul, hanging on to your own wisdom and pride? And does it get rid of the lingering thought in your mind that one day maybe God will hold you to account? And he certainly will. That's why it is ruinous to bear the yoke of your own wisdom, your own pride, and plow ahead in life with that yoke. It gets you nowhere. Well, in fact, it doesn't get you nowhere. They both take you towards your own downfall, your own destruction, your own judgment. So your burden, whatever it may be, is totally ruinous. That's the first reason for you to be convinced that Christ's yoke, Christ's rest, is what you need. What's your second reason? It's that the rest is totally satisfying, and the rest giver is totally wonderful. The people Jesus was speaking to, some of them were toiling and weary from carrying their own religious duty. Some of them were burdened from their own wisdom and pride. And 2,000 years later, nothing's changed, has it? The human heart is just the same. But Jesus saw their toiling and their burdensome, their weariness, their trouble. And he beckoned them to leave their spiritual labor and leave their spiritual tiredness by entering into his rest. And 2,000 years later, praise God that nothing's changed. Our heart and our need is still the same, but praise God that his heart for us is still the same in giving us the rest we need. Jesus says in verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." We said before that this probably includes toiling and being burdened physically, toiling and being burdened emotionally, but that Jesus has this special emphasis in mind. People who are spiritually tired. And you know that of those three, emotionally, physically, spiritually, which is the most important? Spiritually. So often we can live by sight and not by faith. And so we think that our physical nature, our emotional nature is the most important, when Jesus is saying there's a rest here for your soul that surpasses any other rest. You can be given rest physically, but still have no peace in your soul. You can be given rest emotionally, but it doesn't solve the emptiness within your soul. You can be given rest physically, but it won't last and your body will ache again. You can be given rest emotionally, but it won't last and your heart will ache again. But to be given rest spiritually is far deeper and stronger and sweeter. It's far more profound and substantial and eternal. But what exactly is this spiritual rest that Jesus provides for someone who trusts and believes that he's good on his word? Well, the rest is this: that he lived righteously, without sin. And that on the cross, as he hung, willingly bleeding and dying, what was really happening is that the Father was condemning their sin, not in their bodies, but in his. And the Father crushed his Son under the full weight of his justified anger against them, so that their sin is entirely paid for, entirely dealt with. Isn't that wonderful? That's the first half of the rest that Jesus offers, that your sins, past, present, future, can be completely done away with by your faith in this Saviour. And what's the second half of this rest that Christ offers you? Well, not only did the Father clothe Jesus in their sin, but the Father clothed them in His righteousness. So that when God looks at weak, guilty sinners like you and I, He doesn't see the weakness and guilt any longer. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He clothes them in Christ's sinlessness so that they can be adopted and forgiven as redeemed sons of his kingdom for eternity. That is the rest. Never again do you have to worry about your sin. Jesus has paid for it. Never again do you have to strive to earn God's favor. Christ has earned it for you. Never again do you have to fear God as your judge, because God has made Himself your Father. Never again do you have to search for the meaning of life, because Christ has shown that everything revolves around Him and finds its meaning in Him. Never again do you have to be weary and burdened and heavy laden, because Christ has given you His yoke and His rest. Someone might say, but wait! How can a man who died give me his rest today? A dead man can't. Abraham can't. Muhammad can't. Buddha can't. But a Saviour who's risen from the dead, who has been seated in heaven above all things, who's had all authority on earth, all authority in heaven given into His hands, not only can He offer you this rest, but He can secure it for you permanently, to never fade away. And so that risen Jesus didn't just say 2,000 years ago to the people in front of Him, come to me, but He says to you and I today, come to me, take my yoke, walk with me, be bound to me. But why is that a good deal? What makes that so good? It's not only is the rest totally satisfying, the rest giver is totally wonderful. He is gentle. He is lowly. His yoke is easy. And His yoke is light. He's gentle. Do you have a stern boss or manager? A boss who's harsh, isn't gentle? Or maybe you can remember your days at school, or maybe you are at school, and you have teachers you love and teachers you never warm to. What do you base that on? 9 times out of 10, it's whether their nature is gentle, whether they're warm and welcoming and compassionate and friendly. It's something that's in their nature. The people, the teachers, the bosses you dislike, they're the ones who are grumpy by nature, who are cold and distant in their nature. That's not who God is. That's not what Jesus is like. His nature is gentle. And this word for gentle is the same Greek word we see in Matthew 5:5, meek. It's the same word. It means someone who's not filled with self-importance at all. And so because of that, they can serve. They can be gentle in dealing with others. That is the nature of the one who's beckoning you to rest in him. Isn't that wonderful? And he's lowly. He's humble. Yes, he's the Lord of all creation, with everything in creation underneath him and subject to him. Yet simultaneously he draws close to us as a compassionate God. And it's because of how good his gentleness and his lowliness is that he tells us in verse 29 that we're to take his yoke and learn from him. And so as you walk through life bound to this Savior, you're to learn from him because he has things to teach you. As you walk together, you learn from him and through his word, you learn more and more and more how desperate you were without him. Isn't that true? As you walk together, he teaches you more and more and more through his word how dependent you are on this yoke and this rest. As you walk together, he teaches you more and more and more through his word how to become like him in your words, in your thoughts, in your motives, in your actions. But even when, as we're walking with Christ, bound to his yoke, even when you lose sight of what you're doing, even when you lose focus of who he is, even when your foot slips and gives way, even when you choose to step out of line and stumble, you never will fall to never get back up again. Why? Because it's not just you. Because you're bound to Christ. Look at who you're bound to, Christian. Isn't it wonderful? Even when we fail, he never does. Even when we are unfaithful, he never is. Even when we are weak, we are bound to one who is strong. The other person carrying this yoke is the God of all creation, with everything subject to him. And yet he's close to us. And isn't it right and fitting and smoother and sweeter to make every effort to walk in step with him? Isn't that good? To learn from him and finally one day enter that place of ultimate rest in his kingdom. It's an easy yoke to bear. It's a light yoke to bear. It's not a yoke that means all your struggles in life disappear. They won't. And in some cases, you might find struggles and troubles that you wouldn't have known if you hadn't taken this yoke. But you have the promise of the one you're bound to. And remember, he's the one who has all authority in earth, all authority in heaven, given to him. And he makes you these promises. He promises that he will never leave you and never forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong, be of good courage, do not fear, nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, he's the one who goes with you. He will not leave you, nor forsake you. You also have the promise that one day when this time on earth is done, all of the struggles that you face will disappear. Revelation 21:4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow or crying. There'll be no more pain. For those former things have passed away. And you have the promise of certain hope. And your eternal home waiting for you, and your compassionate King will meet you there and welcome you into it. What a promise that is. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. A house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Bearing his yoke is not like bearing that yoke of religious duty. Bearing his yoke is not like relying on your own wisdom and pride. Because you cannot ever work your way into God's favor. But Christ has worked your way there for you. He's bought you God's favor himself. And you can never captain your own destiny. You can never solve the hostility between you and God. Only Jesus can. And so God accepts you and adopts you, not on the basis of how good you are to him, not on the basis of how much you've achieved for him, but he looks to who or what you're bound to. And if you trust in Christ, then he sees Christ. If you're bound to Jesus, then he treats you just as he treats his son. And what does Jesus say is the end for you in taking his yoke? What is the result you experience when you take his yoke? Look what he says. We find rest for our souls through the salvation and forgiveness that he secured for us. So ask yourself, what weight, what yoke are you carrying at the moment? Which one of those three is it? Are you bearing your own religious duty, your own wisdom and pride, or the yoke of Christ? What is your life tied to? What are you letting your life be defined by? It can only be one of these three things. Is your yoke causing you pain and difficulty? Aren't you longing for something that is easy and light? His yoke alone is easy. Only his yoke is light. And maybe you are tied to him. Maybe you have taken his yoke. But maybe you need to remember and rediscover just how easy and just how light it is. And that it's a rest that is totally satisfying. And maybe as well as relearning how totally satisfying the rest is, you need to remind yourself and be refreshed in how totally wonderful the rest giver himself is. So first we saw that your burden is totally ruinous. But this rest is totally wonderful, given by a totally wonderful, satisfying rest giver. I wonder, are you convinced yet? If not, what's your third reason to be? Thirdly and finally, the offer that Christ makes is totally matchless. Have you ever been to Tesco? I'm sure you have. Have you ever been to Sainsbury's? Have you ever been to Aldi? Have you ever noticed that both Tesco and Sainsbury's run something called Aldi Price Match? They sell products that you'd find in Aldi for the same price as Aldi has them. So they'd say, why go to Aldi when you can come to us for the same thing? You will never find anything that can price match Christ's rest. It can't be done. No matter where you look, no matter what you find, nothing else in this world can say, Why go to Christ when you can come to me? Nothing can match his rest. You'll never find anything. Jesus' way isn't merely one way of many valid options you can take. No. Jesus' way isn't even just the best of the bunch. Jesus' way is the only way. There's no other way that comes close. No other religion that comes close. No other philosophy that comes close. See, in a world of conflicting and varied religions and beliefs and thought systems and ideas, there's only one way. There's only one bridge between us and God. And it's the one that he's told us he has set up himself. Not one that men and women have constructed and thought of themselves. Only one way to the Father. There's only one answer that solves the problem. There's only one treasure worth anything. Now, to those of us who do believe, those of us who have come to Christ and taken his yoke, we can easily agree that all that is true. All of us would agree, wouldn't we, that there's nothing like Jesus' rest. But the question is, are you content with that rest? Or do you find yourself, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, looking to other places to feel the calm and the peace and the comfort that only Christ can give? Do you find yourself price matching the gospel against other things in the world? So maybe you've had a long, hard, taxing day. What is the ultimate thing in that day that you look forward to? What is the ultimate overriding feeling that picks you up? What is the ultimate thought that gets you through? Do you look forward to time with your family? Do you look forward to your bed? Do you look forward to a good meal? Do you look forward to downtime? While all those things are wonderful and necessary, are they the things that you find your contentment in? Are they the things that your soul is content to rest in? Even if you didn't have those things, would you still be content with this rest that Christ is offering? What is it that you're standing upon right now? As a Christian believer, you know that you stand on the unshakable rock of Christ's rest. But are you content with your feet just touching the rock alone? Or do you keep bringing little footstools from the world to stand upon while you're on this rock? What are you standing on? Remember Jesus' parable of the hidden treasure? Matthew 13, a few chapters later. Matthew 13:44. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold some of the thing, no, all that he had, and bought that field." Jesus is saying that his rest is like this shining, precious treasure. And when it was found by the man in this story, what was his response? For the joy that filled his heart over this treasure, he willingly, gladly gave up every single item that he owned in order to gain this treasure. He let go of every other footstool because he was content with his feet standing on the rock alone. He didn't even consider trying to price match all of his items that he owned with this pearl. Because he knew where the value was. My friend, are you like that with the gospel? Do you see the rest that God is offering and say, that is gain, no matter what I lose? Jesus' offer of rest is totally matchless. Is that the ultimate thought that you'd think of today to reassure you the most out of everything else in the world? So, are you tired? Our goal this morning has been to beckon you, both those of you who believe and those of you who don't believe, beckon you and encourage you and convince you to be joyfully content resting in Jesus. And we've seen three things. First, that your burden is totally ruinous. And don't you know that? That the weight of your souls is so heavy when we're far from Christ. Whether you're currently bound to your own religious duty or your own wisdom and pride, you don't have to bear those things anymore. Because there is a lighter and easier yoke. And if you have taken that yoke, never forget how burdensome those old yokes, those old burdens were. Don't try and put a hand to them as you press forward with Christ. Let them go. Empty your hands. As you abound to Christ and walk with Him, don't try and bring your religious duty along for the ride. Don't try and bring some of your own wisdom and pride with you to get you through. Empty your hands so that the only thing that you're holding is Christ and His rest. The things that He offers. Because that's the thing that God Himself has fashioned for you. The second thing we saw is that the rest is totally satisfying. And the rest giver, it's totally wonderful. It's the only thing that can make you and I right with God. The only thing that can wash away our sins. The only thing that can rid you of guilt and sin. The only thing that can end your search for meaning, because you find it. We can lose sight of what we have so easily, can't we? We have eternal life, completely undeservedly, and yet it's being granted to us by such a wonderful Saviour who we trust in. And thirdly, we saw that the offer is totally matchless. Where can you go to find a promise as good as this? It can never be done. Where can you go to find something as stable and unshakable and reliable as this to rest your soul upon? You'll never be able to do it. You know, you couldn't even imagine up something greater than this. Try it. It can't be done. You can't even imagine something greater than what God offers us. Forgiveness of sin, adoption as sons. So then why would we waste our time price matching the things of the world with what we have? Why would we overlook this great foundation that we've been brought to stand upon by standing on lesser things? Maybe in looking at your own life this morning, you've become discouraged by the things you're currently resting yourself in. Do you know that you should be filled with hope and joy? You might say, why? I'm resting in things that aren't Christ? Why should I be joyful and hopeful? Because you're the very person Christ is speaking to. He's speaking to you. So, are you tired? And will you go to him and find that rest? Will you trust him? Believe him? Will you go to him, you who are weary, you who are burdened and heavy laden? Will you find his rest? Will you take his yoke upon you and learn from him? Because he's gentle. He's lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul with him. Because his yoke is easy. His burden is light. And wherever you find yourself this morning, those words of Christ, let those words be like a fire that you can warm your soul by.